So we are in Hebrews chapter 2 tonight, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles. We finished chapter 1 last week as we're walking through the book of Hebrews, the book that teaches us about the person of Christ, primarily as high priesthood. And here God reminds us at the beginning of chapter 2 about our very important salvation that God has provided through Christ. Notice verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So how shall we escape? Let's pray. Lord, please use your word in our lives tonight. Such a blessing to be here and just to hear from you on a Wednesday night. And we pray it will be a sweet time in your word. We'll leave changed by you, and you'll be glorified in it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So he's referring back to chapter 1. He says, therefore, because Jesus Christ is on the throne interceding for us, because the Bible taught that we have angels, actually, that minister to us, which is quite amazing. Ministering spirits, the Bible says. Because of all those things, he said, we ought to give the more earnest heed. To what? The things which we have heard. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And the more that we learn of God's word and of God's will for our lives, the more responsible we become, more accountable we become to obey those things. And what's the alternative? That we let them slip, as we see here in verse 1. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter in chapter 2. We looked at this a few months ago when we were in 2 Peter, but God talks about Christians who let them slip, and he doesn't have very many nice things to say about it, but it does happen where Christians let things slip, and that's not God's will, of course. It's the devil's will, but it happens, and of course, the solution is to return to the Lord. But notice verse 20 of chapter 2 in 2 Peter. "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to return from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened and them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." We all know what dogs do. God wrote it in his word. He made dogs. And he's saying that's what a Christian looks like, who lets things slip, who gets saved, starts living for God, and then turns their back on the things of the Lord and lets things slip, goes back into the ways of the world. God says we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Look at James chapter 1 now, back to the left, just one book, or two books from 2 Peter, verse 22. What we hear is very important. Doesn't the Bible say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17? So we need to make sure that as we hear the word of God, that we don't just hear it, but that we respond. Notice James 1:22. "Be ye doers of the word," and what? "Not hearers only." "Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It's not that God doesn't want us to hear it. He does, but he wants us to then what? Do it. "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." So not to let them slip, because again, we're accountable to this book. We're accountable as we learn more of this book. Jesus told us in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day." We will be judged based on this book. That's it. We're not going to be judged based on the church, each other. We're going to be judged based on this book. So God says, take heed to what we hear. Don't just hear it, but do it. Let your faith grow. Live for God. So back to our passage. And he reminds us what the alternative is here. Verse 2, he says, "For the word spoken by angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." He's referring back to the Old Testament. He's referring back to the angels that fell, talking about their punishment. What's he saying? He's saying that the alternative for Christians, we won't be sent to hell, praise God, because our sins are forgiven. But if we let things slip, if we do turn our back on the things of the Lord and disobey and not listen to the Holy Spirit, we are asking for chastisement. Because God loves us. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll see this. And love includes correction and discipline. It's the same with parents and children. We read in Proverbs. The Bible says, "He that loveth his children disciplines them." But he says that if you don't discipline them, you essentially hate them. And a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Notice Hebrews 12:5. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So at some point in our Christian lives, from the day that we're saved until the day we leave this earth, all of us will go through the experience of chastisement from God. Because God loves us, He wants what's best for us. And part of that process of Him developing us and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ is giving us that recompense of reward, teaching us that sin has consequences, like we try to teach our kids when we're raising them. And yet we are never chastised in equality to the sin. Does that make sense? Go to Psalm 103 and I'll show you what I mean. In other words, our chastisement isn't appropriate for the sin. What's appropriate for the sin is that we be killed or that we go to hell, because we are violating the laws of a holy God. But God doesn't do those things. He instead chastises us. Notice Psalm 103, verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Because let's face it, if it went that way, that we were, then most of us would get zapped out of existence not long after we got saved for our violation of God's word and His holiness. But God loves us. God wants to grow us. He wants to develop us. And part of that process is when we let things slip, when we don't act upon what we hear, He gives us the just recompense of reward, which is His loving chastisement. And he says in verse 3 of our passage, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I believe he's primarily talking to Christians here. Now, of course, this would apply to the lost as well. If the lost neglect salvation, they're going to hell. But the passage is focused on Christians. And he's saying, if we neglect our salvation, if we don't act on what we hear, if we do let things slip, if we're like the dog returning to his own vomit, going back to the things that we used to participate in before we were saved, if we're that kind of a Christian, we're not going to escape if we neglect what God has done in our lives. Instead, we're going to face God's recompense. Go to Hebrews 4, please, verse 13, where the Bible teaches us that God sees it all. I know we know that in our heads, but we need to know it in our hearts. That God sees and knows every thought and action in our lives. And word. Hebrews 4:13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees everything. So, you know, David tried to get away with something, didn't he? Murder, adultery. And then he didn't confess it to God. He didn't repent. He tried to cover up his sin and thought, "I got away with it." You never get away with it. God sent Nathan, who said, thou art the man. And then he repented, but he didn't repent until he got caught out. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit will do for us, is catch us out, if we'll listen to him when we're in the Word of God. But how shall we escape? We won't. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. Paul talked about his own life and how he had to constantly keep himself under control. Because Paul was human just like the rest of us. Paul had the same tendencies that we have to sin. The old man still gave him trouble as well. Read Romans chapter 7. The whole chapter is about Paul's struggle with his own personal sin. And look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, we've all met castaway Christians who basically turn their back on the things of the Lord. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't go to church anymore. They may put on airs that they're all happy, but trust me, they're miserable if they're truly Christians. And God is working in their lives, and eventually God's going to bring out a bigger stick if that's what it's going to take. But they're temporarily a castaway. They're not being used by God to further His cause on the earth. They're not witnessing. They're not a testimony of what God has done in their lives. They're actually the opposite. And you know, I talked about this in Tyre on Sunday, but it says there in 1 Corinthians 11 that if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Because when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, which tells us that God wants us to be constantly judging ourselves against His Word, because our testimony before the world is very important to the Lord. And when we ruin that testimony, then God has to step in and do something about it. And we could become a castaway. We could become a Christian that lets things slip, as the passage says here in Hebrews 2. So praise the God for our salvation. And let's never be a Christian that neglects his or her salvation, because we will not escape. I love that word escape, because God uses it in the positive, talking about temptation, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There had no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who would not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. So we can escape temptation with God's help if we're walking in the Spirit. But we won't escape God's recompense or chastisement if we choose to let things slip and neglect so great salvation. That's a good way to end the passage that we're studying. So great salvation. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great salvation that we have. And yet sometimes the devil tricks Christians into neglecting it. But if that be the case, God hasn't stopped loving that Christian, and God will work in that Christian's life, and God will bring them back to Himself one way or another if we let things slip. So, how shall we escape? The answer, we won't. The answer is take earnest heed. That's the key to the whole passage. Take earnest heed to the things which we've heard, or we will not escape. Let's pray.